Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read a scripture, and it's from the Gospel of John, and it's chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Amen.
Okay. Welcome all. You're going to be glad you are here tonight. Father, I thank you. You've got a wonderful plan for each and every person that's here because you love them. And Lord, the most wonderful news is that not only you died for our sins on the cross, you took our place, paid the price for our sins and punishment you took. You carried our cross. But Lord, you rose. Today we celebrate that we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God who is still working today. And Father, I say in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost, come and work tonight. In Jesus' name. Somebody here, you're going to have a breakthrough tonight. So it's your breakthrough. You've been crying out to God. Somebody's come here tonight. God is going to come. He's going to release a peace to you that you don't even know you need. It's His peace. It's like not nobody else. Somebody else is going to get set free. God is going to deliver you because your life has been bound. You've been chained up, unable to get to where God wants to give you, but He's going to bring deliverance here tonight because He's a wonderful Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Passage that was just read, it's a wonderful passage because it tells us what the risen Jesus rose to do and what He still wants to do for many people today. And in this time when Michelle just read the passage, in this time in history, the disciples had gathered together in a spirit of discouragement and despair and hopelessness and remorse and regret because they'd all failed Jesus. And they were in fear, it says, of the Jews. And they were gathered. They believed that Jesus was going to bring about His kingdom. He was going to kick the Romans out. He was going to bring deliverance to the nation. That's what they believed. They misunderstood what He was talking about. But then Jesus was dead. And they watched His cruel crucifixion. They watched. Some of them did. Some of them fled. But some of them stood there and they watched the nails go through His hands. And they watched Jesus, the Messiah, die. And in their thinking was, it's over. I want to tell you tonight, it's not over till God says it's over. It may be impossible for men, but with God, all things are possible. That's the God we serve. God had... Jesus had said to these men, "I have a wonderful plan for you. I've chosen you, I've called you, And I've got a wonderful plan for you. He has a wonderful plan for all of our lives. And God wants you to move into that plan that he has for you. Because he's not only a God of salvation, he's a God of great purpose. And he wants to use you for the greatest enterprise in all of the world, that is building the kingdom of God here on earth. And he'd wanted to use these people. And they were supposed to go forward. He said, you're going to go into the world and you're going to take this gospel. That's my good plan for you. You're going to find satisfaction and purpose in it. But instead of moving into the good plans of God, these men were stuck behind locked doors. I don't need that either. And the reason they weren't moving forward into their destiny, their God-given calling and destiny, is because they were stuck and they were captured behind closed doors. And the reason was, it was fear. It says they were in there because of fear of the Jews. The people that killed Jesus, they were fearful. Even Jesus said, they won't touch you. You're going to go into the world and be successful. And fear, I want to tell you, I've seen fear in many, many, and I've experienced it myself in many, it's multifaceted spirit. There's many people have suffered from fear and they don't move forward because you're going to have fear of failure, fear of death. Some people have got fear of terrorism, fear of rejection. Fear that your government assistance is going to be cut off. Fear is multifaceted. And many people are imprisoned behind closed doors, not moving into what God has for them because their life is captured by a spirit of fear. And what fear does, fear brings confusion and fear paralyzes and fear neutralizes because it makes you feel helpless. That's what Jesus, that's what fear does. And that's what these men were experiencing. They were paralyzed. They were neutralized. They couldn't move into what God had for them to shake the world with the power of God. That's what God has for all his people. There they were, stuck, going nowhere, living, instead of in victory, in discouragement and despair and hopelessness and fear. And some people here, that's where you are tonight. Holy Spirit, show me there are people here exactly the same, and you can't move forward. But I want to tell you, there they were in that condition until Jesus came. And Jesus, when I say Jesus came, a book didn't come, the Bible didn't come, but the presence of Jesus came into that room and changed everything. And I want to give you praise today because the presence of Jesus is still coming into rooms today and changing everything. I can testify. My life was captured by fear. I told people today, I used to be sad, so fear of lack and so fear of tomorrow, so much fear of failure that I used to count my money up every day. Every single day I used to count up my net worth because that was my security. Until one day I was in a hotel in America. And seriously, the presence of God just came into the room. The manifest presence of God is alive today in the person of Jesus Christ and he's still coming through locked doors and changing everything. Amen. And once you have an encounter with the presence of God, you're never the same. This is what God wants to do for people. That he wants to give you an encounter with the Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God here today because Jesus is alive and he wants to change what you cannot change yourself. He wants to release you into what's holding you back. And it's the presence of God. It's the presence of Jesus. How do you know you've had an encounter with the presence of Jesus? David said, in your presence is fullness of joy. In Psalm 21, he says, you have made me exceedingly glad with your presence. If you've encountered the presence of Jesus, you can't stay mad. You can't stay sad. You'll only be glad. Doesn't mean you can't have moments when you're down, but you can't stay that way. So there they were, and then Jesus came, his presence came, and totally changed everything. They moved forward. Fear was defeated. Discouragement was defeated. When did he come? When does he always come? I tell you when he came. He came when all hope was gone. His presence always comes when you've tried everything in your own strength. He came in the fourth watch of the night to the disciples when all their own rowing strength was exhausted. He came at the 11th hour when it was all over for Lazarus. He came when it was finished for the widow of Nain. He always comes when human hope is over, when you've lost hope, when you feel helpless, when you've tried everything. That's when his presence comes. Where does his presence come? It says here, it says, he came and stood in the midst. He came and stood in Daniel's lion's den. He came and stood in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's fire. He comes and stands in the midst of you. And I want to tell you how he comes. He comes through locked doors. He came through doors which were locked. The key was locked. A place where nobody else can get into. Wherever you are, the presence of Jesus can come and set you free tonight. Wherever you are, whether you're spending your life and your hours in a dope dealer's den, whether you're married, you're spending your time in a marriage counselor, he can come into your dope den. He can come into your marriage counselor. He can come into any place where you're at. There is no place that he can't get to you. So he came, his presence came through that door. And this is what happens when his presence comes. He came to them, first of all, he came to them. I want to say why he came, not only how he came, not only where he came, but why he comes. Why his presence comes to you when you can't move forward. Why his presence comes to you when you're stuck because of discouragement or fear or addiction or depression or mental illness and you can't move forward. Why he comes? He comes for one reason. It's because he loves you. It's because he loves you. And he left heaven to set the captive free. And these people in captivity behind that room, and he comes to us because he loves us to free. How does he free us? I want to tell you, when he came into that room, Jesus came to the people, to the 12, and he did three things. First of all, he said to them, twice he said to them, peace be with you. Peace to you. He comes in love to release his peace to you. I preached on this the other night. Jesus said, I've got a peace for you, not as the world gives. The world's peace is just about absence of conflict and material possessions, which makes you comfortable. But he says, I come to release a deep peace into your inner man, a deep inner peace, which destroys fear. It's a peace the Bible calls which transcends understanding. It's above the mind. It's a spiritual experience, and it comes when one is reconciled and forgiven with God. These people had failed Jesus. And it's interesting, in the same passage is mentioned, you will forgive others' sins. Because peace and the forgiveness of sin are always connected. God wants to give you this deep, deep inner peace, which destroys fear, which breaks the chains and breaks the bondages. But you can't have the peace of God, which transcends understanding, which guards the mind, until you have peace with God. And you can only have peace with God when you come to the cross of Jesus and you receive his forgiveness. Because then you are reconciled with God, your sin is destroyed, and then the peace of God can flow to your life. So he comes to give you his peace. The world cannot have it. It's his. It's a deep spiritual peace. It comes from God himself. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it changes everything. He comes to give you peace. Then he says, I want you to receive the Holy Spirit. You know what's in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is power. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, you will receive power. He wants to give you peace, but he wants to give you power. There's a power that many Christians have never discovered because we try to walk out Christianity in the flesh. We do programs, but the Bible says it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he wants to give you a power of the Holy Spirit that is not human, but it's a power to overcome sin. It's a power to do what you cannot do naturally. It's the power of God working through you. It's the power to overcome. It's the power to walk in victory. And it's not human. It's from God himself. And God wants to breathe the Holy Spirit into you so that you're not only a person of principle, you're not only a person of peace, but you're a person of power. When you've got the power of God upon your life, only when you've got the power of a life can you be a witness. When the power of God is upon your life, your words are different. You may need to discipline your kids and you shout at them forever and they don't listen to you. But when the power of God, the Holy Spirit is moving in you, there's a conviction that flows. Your words are touched from heaven. They're different to any other anyone else's words. The power of God is with you. God wants to give you peace. God wants to give you power. And he came to those men, he gave them his peace. And he came to those men, he released his power. Then finally came to them, he says, now go into all the world. And as the Father sent me, I sent you. You know what it's about? He said, go, expand my kingdom. Preach the forgiveness of sin because I died for the world. Tell the world now their sin can be forgiven and they can be reconciled to God. Expand and build the kingdom of God. The greatest enterprise in the history of the cosmos is the kingdom of heaven. And he said to them, this is what I'm giving you. I'm giving you a purpose. And so many people today, they're aimless. Their life is going nowhere. Even believers, they're going nowhere because they really don't know what their purpose is. Here's your purpose. If you're saved today, you're a citizen of heaven already. You're in Christ. The enemy is under your feet. And you are a citizen of heaven already and an ambassador for Christ on earth. That's your purpose. Heaven is your home and earth is simply your assignment. Your assignment is to preach the gospel. Whether you're at work, whether you're whatever, I'm not saying you're a missionary, but this is purpose. And the people that understand their purpose, that I am a representative of Christ to bring others to salvation, to reconcile others, a minister of reconciliation, to bring them back to God himself, to save them from hell and bring them into heaven. That's my purpose. The people that know their purpose, the people that live their purpose are the most satisfied people I know. So God wants to come here tonight and he doesn't want to give you correct doctrine. This is not what he wants to do tonight, as good as doctrine is. But if you're sitting in a place tonight, if you're sitting in a place and you're not going forward, you're not living a purposeful life, if you're not moving into the good plans that God has for you, if your life isn't full of peace and joy, if those things are not real in your life and you're not moving forward and you're not fruitful and you're not prospering, this is the God's good plan, but this is why he died, to give you not only just a life, but he died to give you an abundant life, a fruitful life, a good life, a life that is overcoming. Yes, you'll have problems, but he said, I've overcome the world. If you're not living that life, but your life is captured by fear or disappointment or hopelessness or addiction, I want to tell you, there is something God wants to give you tonight. He wants to give you an encounter with the presence of Jesus, because then Jesus came and changed everything. Then Jesus came through the wall. Jesus knows how to get to you where you're at, and he wants to encounter you tonight in the Holy Ghost, and he wants to release to you his peace. He wants to release to you his love. He wants to release you his power. He wants to release you his purpose, and he wants to set you free so you walk out of here totally different. He wants you to walk out of here in victory as an overcomer, a purpose-filled Christian, an empowered Christian, a person that understands and lives in that peace that is permanent and abiding, and all hopelessness, all fear, all despair. He wants to completely break it off your life. I tell you what changes everything. They were in that place until the presence of Jesus came. He is alive today. And his presence, as it came through that door, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, his presence will encounter you tonight if you only believe. And his presence will change everything. And I want to invite people here tonight who are not in a good place. I want to tell you, Jesus, he came for them. Even though they had failed him. You may have failed God. You may feel completely hopeless. You may feel like you've failed God over and over and over again. You've given up on yourself. I want to tell you, Jesus left heaven for people like you. And he wants to come to you tonight because he loves you. He loves you so much. He took stripes for you and he laid a cross for you. Not to give you religion, but to give you himself. To bring his presence and his reality into your life. And he wants to change everything. He wants to bring his peace into your life. So it's a reality, not a theory, not a doctrine. He wants to fill you with power. So you know there's something over your life that's not over anybody else's. The power is the Holy Spirit. And he wants to give you a purpose. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, you realize you're a child of God. You're a citizen of heaven, the Most High King. Your home is heaven for eternity. That's already settled if you're a Christian. He wants you to live for him. Can we bow our heads? Can we just bow our heads? God, there's somebody here tonight that's quite distressed and quite tormented. God wants to give you. Jesus came, the first thing he gave those people in that room was his peace. He wants to release you to peace. He wants to give you a peace that when you get it, you say, where has this been all my life? That's what happened when I received Jesus Christ. I says, where's this feeling of peace been? And I got it so easy. But you can't have, that's called the peace of God. God wants to give you. You can't have it till you have peace with God. You can only do that through the cross of Jesus. When you come, you accept forgiveness for your sin. God wants to give you that tonight, but he wants to first deal with your sin. He wants to forgive your sin, reconcile you with himself, and then fill you with this peace. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand to heaven because God wants to do business with you. Somebody here needs that peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for those hands that are raised, Lord. And I say, Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven them. Because of the blood of Jesus, you've forgiven them. Father, and I speak peace over them, Lord. The peace that transcends understanding. Holy Ghost, fill them. Fill them. Someone here is I don't know, you got some sort of ministry, but I see in the spirit, you're trapped behind a closed door and you're in bondage to something that's filling you with shame and guilt, something like pornography. Jesus doesn't condemn you, but he wants to set you free from that thing because it's got your life in captivity. God's going to set you free tonight if you'll only believe. Other people here, there's other people here, you this message about feeling hopeless and being in a place of despair. You relate to that. But I tell you what, Jesus, he says to you, everything's possible with him. He can change you. Not only change a little bit, he can take your life that's in ashes. The Bible says he gives you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. He can dramatically transform your life. He can get you out of that place and get you moving forward into the good destiny God has for you. And he wants to do that tonight, not because of any doctrine, but he wants to do that by giving you an encounter on this carpet tonight with his presence. And he calls people to come and just come and experience his presence today because he is alive. He's going to set you free. He's going to bring you a breakthrough because he's a wonderful Jesus. And some people here, you want to serve. You do want to be a representative. You want to be a representative of the kingdom of heaven. But you need his power. It's not by might, not by spirit. But he really wants to give you his power. Not a doctrine of it. He wants to fill you with his power. When the power of God is upon your life, you know when it's upon your life. And you know when it's not upon your life. And if you have any doubt, I want you to come forward and to receive the Holy Spirit upon your life. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem and you will receive power to be my witnesses. That's a supernatural capacity upon your life. God wants to give it to you tonight.